There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Indeed, you are listening to The Grill, live from Barasti, where the game is always on. Good crowd down at Barasti this afternoon. A lot of them soaking up some sun at the moment out on the beach. A lot of people heading up onto the upper decks of Barasti in just a little moment's time, filtering through for some live sport and plenty for you throughout the course of the next 3 hours here on The Grill and the rest of the evening down here at Barasti. Two games in the IPL. First of those is off at the moment. There's one over in S80-20 game down there, and of course county championships. We'll have all the latest on those. Rugby fans, you've got Super Rugby, you've got the Hong Kong Sevens plus Club Rugby over in the Northern Hemisphere. Texas Open, looking ahead to the Masters in the world of golf, and plenty of football for us to keep us entertained as well. Emirates FA Cup semi-finals, Man City with the dreams of that quadruple still on at the moment. A Premiership, we've got a live game at 6 o'clock for you, I should say, with the change of the clocks back in the United Kingdom. 6 o'clock, you'll be able to hear Newcastle against Palace live here on Dubai I-13.8, plus goals from the other two games kicking off at 6 o'clock here local time in the UAE. Early in the Championship, intriguing game in the Championship, Norwich against QPR. We'll keep an eye on that one for you. That gets underway in about 10 minutes' time. Hearts against Hibs also off in 10 minutes. There is a game that has already started down in Spain, where Girona are taking on Espanyol and Parma entertain Torino in the early kickoff over in Italy. There is plenty of sport to get involved in. Barasti is the place to come and watch it. If you want to watch your sport, then get yourself down to Barasti, where the game is always on. If you can't make it down to Barasti, keep locked here on Dubai I-103.8. Grill with you through until 6 p.m. this evening. And if you are able, then please do join the conversation. You can text us now on 4001. You can use the handles at Dubai I-103.8 FM, at Dubai iSport, and please do have your say.
This is The Grill, live from Barasti, with more sport, the latest headlines, and top debate on Dubai I-103.8.
Top debate indeed, so please get involved with that debate by texting us now on 4001. Who is on the panel today? Will I have a... Actually, before I introduce the panel, just a quick apologies. I know we're a little late to air. We've been having a few technical issues down here. These have now been sorted, so we are with you through until 6 o'clock this evening. Thanks so much indeed to all the team down here at Barasti, all of the engineers at Barasti, and of course all the team, our engineers and IT team, for getting us on air and sorting that problem out in no time at all. So our thanks to that. As to your opening partnership here on The Grill, couldn't ask for a better international open pairing than the pride of New Zealand and the pride of England. Former England and Middlesex batsman O.A. Shah joins us, and former, just sort of Kiwi all-rounder, basically, Mark Archer.
Tommy,
is that fair enough?
Star of the Tom Urquhart 11.
Ordinarily it was the Chris Cairns 11, wasn't it? And then we sort of replaced that with the Tom Urquhart 11, wasn't it?
Tom Urquhart 11, yeah. That was a dominant team back in the...
the only team.
decade ago.
That's why we're dominant. Ace is with us as well. Ace, good to have you on board.
Hello, Tommy. How are you?
Not too bad, my friend. Thanks so much indeed for taking time to join us. Looking very smart up here on the top deck. We're up on the rooftop bar down here at Barasti. You've been on the road over the last couple of weeks. How was India?
Yeah, very good. Had a little trip to Bangalore. Interesting times out there. So, watch this space, I'd say. That's all I can say at the moment.
IPL fever grabbing the country, is it?
It's ridiculous. I think, you know, the whole country, even like, you know, you might order a cup of tea in a restaurant and, you know, they will recognise the fact that you'd played, and all of a sudden they'll break into a conversation of, sir, who do you think will win? And did you see that innings? And you're like... Mate, no, I didn't quite watch it, but you know, they just glued the whole country. Lives and breathes IPL in India. It's amazing.
At last time we three came together, it was the opening day of the IPL. 2 weeks on, and we've had, about 73 games already or something like that. They come thick and fast, that's for sure. We were a little bit disappointed about that opening game. We thought that the wicket was not the sort of track that had been prepared, that should have been prepared for the IPL opener. Overall, Mark Archer, for you, 2 weeks into the action, have we been blessed with some great action?
Yeah, it seems the wickets seem to have flattened out a bit, and there seems to be some high-scoring matches, none more so than last night when KKR defeated Royal Challengers Bangalore by 5 wickets. big scores. Both scores teams have scored over 200 runs in their 20 overs, and it was a blockbuster innings of 48 not out by the West Indian power hitter Andre Russell to win the match. So I think that's really what the fans want. They want batting action. It's not a great game for bowlers, short forms, is it Oase? But then the early matches we saw that there were spin friendly pitches, so you'd pick two, three spinners, and the scores around 150, 160, low scoring, spin would come into it, and not as much fun, I don't think, as a high scoring, graveyard for the bowlers type wickets.
Come on, Archer, stop sitting on the fence. Talk about the man cad. Talk about Ashwin running out Butler. That's what people want to talk about. They don't want to talk about who's playing well, mate. I want to know, what are your thoughts on Ashwin man cadding Jos Butler?
Well, we did this bit last week, but yeah, I'm not a big man cad fan. There's debate on it, isn't there? There's a grey area in the law about, you know, when he should have released the ball. Was Butler backing up too far? My take is on it, the unwritten rule, you know, going back to the old MCC sort of way of things, that, you know, the spirit of cricket is that he should have probably given him a warning and said, Jos,
if you're given a warning, aren't they?
No, you don't. No, that's the unwritten rule. That's the spirit of the game. Maybe just tell.
We always have to give a warning. Wow. At school, we always had to warn the batsman first.
Yeah, but that was like 50 years ago, yeah. Tommy.
That was a long time ago.
School, that.
Long time
that was MCC ago. Manual stuff, Tom. Forward defence.
Mind you, yeah, at our school, we also had to ask the umpire, do you think that was out, umpire? Could I possibly ask if that was out, umpire?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think, look, in the spirit of the game, and Ashwin could have done with a warning to Butler, who was a key player, set at a key moment of the match. He probably should have said, Jos, if you're going to keep backing up too far, I'm going to run you out. And then by all means.
He wasn't really backing up that far, though.
Well, that was the thing. As he technically should have released the ball at the top of his height, he didn't, and Butler was still in the crease. And as he kind of followed through and did the dummy delivery, he had taken one step out of his crease. He whipped the bails off, and it's all over Red Rover. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, isn't it? I mean, I'm exactly with you there, Archie. You should definitely have warned him. I mean, he's an international superstar.
It's not the first time he's done it. He's done an international match before. He's run it, I think, against Sri Lanka back maybe 6 or 7 years ago. Same incident.
Yeah, I don't know about this. I'm not sure. I don't like it.
Have you come across have you been in a match where there's been a bit of mancading, a bit of banter, or even threatened of mancade?
No, not at all.
In your extensive T20 career, yeah. I'm surprised.
No, not at all. I think, you know, people, you know, one thing, well, as far as I thought that, you know, generally cricket was played in that manner that, you know, it is a gentleman's game at the end of the day, and you do give a warning. I know it's an unwritten rule, but you can't just get someone out like that. That's just a soft way of getting someone out. And I just thought, in this way the game was situated, I know it was against Kings 11 and Butler was looking dangerous. I don't know. I mean, I could sort of understand why Ashwin did it, but no, I didn't like it at all.
Is this the pressure for results in the IPL? Are we getting to that point now where, you know, a win at all costs?
Well, yeah, I mean, not just that. I mean, win at all costs, even in international cricket. Like, I mean, like Archie said, this guy's done it before in international cricket. So, you know, I mean, there's so much more riding on each and every delivery. Not even each and every game. Every delivery is, you know, scrutinized and monitored and followed by everyone all over the world. Yeah, there's, it's win at all costs by the looks of it, isn't it?
Didn't go down well, did it, really? Generally, the cricket public and different players, and no one, it wasn't a lot of support for Ashwin after he did it, unfortunately.
Well, not internationally, but within India, a huge amount of support. And that, I think that's where the debate is lying at the moment, is when you're getting international correspondence. I know Michael Vaughan came in for a lot of stick for some of the comments that he made about it. But a lot of the Indian commentators, a lot of the Indian public didn't see any problem with it whatsoever. So I wonder whether that goes again into this culture of win at all costs, doesn't matter.
Well, it would have been interesting to see if Virat Kohli had been run out in an international, in a World Cup match or something, and for mancading by that example. And let's wait and see where the Indian public sit that stage on the side of the fence.
That's exactly what I was about to say. You know, if you World Cup final, you know, Virat Kohli is on the verge of winning the game with, say, 9 men down for India against England, and one of our boys runs whoever out, I'd love to see what the reaction would be all over the world.
To get your thoughts in on the mancadding incident, just one of a number of incidents that light up the IPL, goes without saying that it is a tournament that doesn't come without a little bit of debate throughout proceedings. There's one game being played over in the IPL at the moment, Mark Archer, who's in action as we speak.
Yes, doubleheader today. The second match that will start about 6:30 UE times in Hyderabad. It's the high-flying Sunrisers Hyderabad taking on the Mumbai Indians. But live currently from Chennai, it's the Super Kings hosting the Kings 11 Punjab. I can tell you that CSK are batting first after 11.5 of their 20 overs. They are 87 for 1. Faf du Plessis, the South African captain, 45 not out. And Suresh Raina, 14 not out. So 11.5 of their 20 overs, 87 for 1. Chennai Super Kings taking on Kings 11 Punjab.
We'll keep you updated on that one. Just one other little line from the world of cricket. Just want to get the boys' thoughts on this one. Afghanistan, interesting decision that they've taken here. The captaincy obviously has been taken away from Asghar Afghan less than 2 months before the World Cup begins. But they've chosen to split the role. Gulbuddin Naib set to lead the one-day international side into the World Cup. Rashid Khan is the new 2020 skipper. He's just 20 years old, and he's the new skipper of that team. And Ramat Shah is the test captain. So obviously, changes afoot for Afghan cricket ahead of the World Cup. Why is to be doing that, splitting the responsibilities?
Well, we're a month away from the World Cup basically starting and getting underway. So it's a pretty big and brave move by any administrators to remove your captain going into that event. You want consistency, you want combinations, you want your team sort of all pulling in the same directions. But we often see this sort of thing, and again, some teams do make dramatic changes late in the minute, and sometimes it does sort of get the dressing room together as well. So let's wait and see. But yeah, just great to see Afghanistan involved, and let's see how they go.
Yeah, I don't think, I'm not quite sure if the former captain was automatic selection. I think he might have been not quite on the mark with his performances. And if you're going into a World Cup, you got to pick your best 11 players. And you can't just pick someone just because they're captain. You pick your best players, then you find a captain out of that. And that's my view on it. And I think that's probably the reason why you've gone for the likes of Rashid Khan and Gulbuddin Naib, who are automatic selections for Afghanistan.
Interesting decision, but obviously, we could take examples from other sports as well, where we're seeing the sort of whole role of captaincy changing at the moment, isn't it? I mean, Mark, you watch a lot of rugby. I watch a lot of rugby. It's not rare to find co-captains in the world of rugby these days. So is this, again, just sort of trend in sport?
Yeah, rugby's a different sort of sport, isn't it? Because some players in some positions are so much involved in the action that what does the captain in rugby really do? Well, he speaks to the referee during the match. You can't make a lot of tactical decisions on the field during the match. It just doesn't change. Same thing with captains in football. Really, what's the point of captains in football? What do they do on the field? They aren't making tactical changes. They aren't sort of screaming at guys that they're playing in the wrong position. So I think in rugby, it helps to have captains in certain positions. You're either one of those guys is going to lead from the front, and get stuck in and get your team to come follow you, or you're a tactical guy making sort of decisions and speaking to the referee and trying to make adjustments as the game goes on. But you've got to be in a position to view the game as well. So I think rugby is quite a difficult game in some positions to actually captain the team.
I don't know. I just think the role's changing. Given the fact that there are so much backroom staff, that management teams often outweigh the actual teams themselves at the moment. Look at the IPL and the number of backroom staff and analysts that are involved in the game. Isn't that sort of taking an element of the decision-making away from the captain at the moment? Because any time a decision needs to be made, whether it be to change a bowler or whatever, you're looking to the sidelines, you're looking to the balcony and asking for direction.
Yeah, a little bit. A captain, I understand in football, Archie, what you're saying. The manager's sitting on the sidelines, making the tactical decisions and stuff like that. But also, one thing you got to remember that in football, a strong captain can, get the team moving forward. And what I mean by that is he sets a standard in training. He sets a standard when, say, maybe you're 2-3-0 down with 10 minutes to go and everyone's like, oh, here we go, we've sort of lost this game. He might sort of give everyone a rocket and say, hey, this game ain't finished yet. You never know. That sort of attitude. And that's something I think very important. And how that captain carries himself, on and off the field can really, really rub off on the other players. Managing other players, people might think, oh, if you're playing for your club or whatever and you're getting paid for a job, You know, you should just turn up, be motivated. Some guys struggle to be motivated. They're very talented at it, and they play football. But and you can sort of use the captain to manage people to get the best out of them. So I do really think that, you know, there is an important role for a captain to be involved in a football team.
I think the thing with captaincy is also, that they must set the standards off the field at training. Set the standards on team discipline. And if you tend to find with a lot of the most successful teams in the world, their cultures are set by the dressing room, by the senior players in the dressing room. The coach and the senior the staff don't have too much of a say if they've got good leaders in the dressing room. And that's where the team mantra comes from. Question for you, though. I was just having to think about...
I don't know. I disagree with that to a certain degree. Yeah, well, only because if you can take a lot of examples. We've just been talking about one of those at the moment. Kane Williamson, captain of one of the IPL franchises at the moment, can't get into the team because of form and the form of his teammates at the moment. Dylan Hartley, captain of the England Rugby World Cup team, going into a Rugby World Cup year, or co-captain, I should say, not in the starting 15.
Well, he's been injured for a while. But the example I was actually thinking about was about the All Blacks. And so they talk about Steve Hansen and the management team and that. But the team culture, the team environment, the rules in which they live by and preach is set by the team. And it's set by the senior managers of the team. It formerly was guys like Richie McCaw and Dan Carter. Again, that gets passed on to guys now like Kieran Reid and Sam Whitelock, TJ Perenara, Aaron Smith, Ben Smith, and that becomes where the dressing room ethos comes from. It's handed from the senior members of the team, the junior members of the team, the young guys coming into that environment, learn that, adapt it, have to get on with it. Otherwise, in a strong culture, they won't fit in. They'll be told to go and do something else. So I think the coaching staff has to play an important part, but only if the strong culture of the team doesn't exist. And always, you've probably got examples of this where you've had strong dressing rooms that the culture's driven there and you don't need strong coaching culture to overlay. And then a lot of teams won't react well when the coach really wants to get involved because it's team first. So, you know, I don't know. What do you think?
No, I agree. I think it's very important to have those strong personalities, leaders within a team, because they're the ones who set the standard. Because if you have a coach saying, hey, I want you to do this, you know, some people do have a problem with listening to authority, and it becomes like teacher and a student scenario. And that's not something you want in sport or in a team environment. You actually want guys who, say, for example, if I'm a junior coming through, I will obviously be looking up to a senior player. And I want to learn everything about that senior player because I want to be as good as, if not better, than that senior player. So he's the guy who I'm looking up to. And when the guy says... Or when the senior guy says to me, hey, we train hard between 10 and 12. Not at 10:01, the warm-up starts at 10 o'clock. And that's how, you know, it's a tiny little thing, it's 1 minute, but that standard is set by the senior player. And all of a sudden, that resonates with the junior player to go, oh my God, that's how it is, you know? That's how the big boys, that's how the international boys do it. So that's how I need to operate to get as good as this guy.
Listening to Dubai Eye 103.8, you're listening to the Saturday Afternoon Grill. It's myself, Tom Urquhart, Mark Archer, Anna Wishaw, live here from Barasti. We'll take a short break. When we come back, we'll have more from the world of sport.
Unbelievable goal!
This is The Grill, live from Barasti. Enjoy your weekend with a 99 dirham main and a hot lunch combo.
Indeed, you do join us live here at Barasti, where the game is always on. And talking of the game, a game on the big screen down here at Barasti is the early kickoff in the Championship coming to a conclusion at the moment, and an early goal for Norwich City. Norwich are in action at the moment, taking on QPR at Norwich, who've had such a great campaign so far, with the early goal in the first 5 minutes of the game. We'll get you scorers, goal scorers on that one in just a little moment's time. There's also a couple of early kickoffs, or a early kickoff over in Spain and one up in Scotland, so we'll reflect on all of those in just a few moments' time. We were talking captaincy, the role of captains in the build-up to that particular little break. We will continue that conversation in a few moments. a few moments' time. I just want to throw into the mix some comments from Mr. Chris McCarty. Chris not with us here today. Obviously, Chris, the co-host of Off Script, weekdays from 5 until 8, and the linchpin of the sports team at Dubai Eye. He had an opportunity to sit down with Joe Launchbury and Big Brad Shields during the week. And one of the questions he was asking both of the England rugby players was the role of the captain at the moment, given the fact that Owen Farrell and Dylan Hartley are co-captains in the side, and we hear always about the leadership groups within international sides. They wanted to get some thoughts on the leadership skills of an individual like Owen Farrell.
100%, extremely impressed, and I think the one thing that really stands up for me about Owen is his leadership, and he definitely leads by example in the way he plays. And you know, when he speaks, it's almost like there's nothing else matters but what he's saying. If that's sort of how I feel about when he talks, and you know, to have a leader like that, and Dylan is almost exactly the same, as you know, in that moment, whatever he's saying means everything. So to me, he's impressed me a lot, and he's a great player as well. He's physical. He's obviously got a niggly side to him. But he's also very compassionate, and he's a great guy off the field as well, so you can't ask for much more than a leader. And as you say, leads by action. So one of the great things as a leader is definitely making sure you can play the game first before you can talk about it. So he does that well, and I think he's got a lot of respect in amongst the group.
No doubt about it. Owen Farrell, Maro Itoj, I think of the headline grabbers, those individuals that garner an awful lot of column inches. What about maybe the unsung heroes, boys? Who perhaps for you, and you see these guys day in and day out, you can say yourself, by the way, Joe, who doesn't perhaps get maybe the credit that they deserve, or who impresses you on the training ground?
Yeah, I think we're very lucky. I think somebody like Johnny May, probably only really now in the last 12 months, probably really started to be recognised as a sort of a top class winger, a real international winger. I think for maybe his first 30 caps or so, maybe people didn't really give him the respect he perhaps deserved. And I think perhaps now over the last 12 months, I think he's fully gone out and proved to everyone that we all know. And I think there's no real hidden gems in international rugby, because everyone is so well spoke about, it's so well reported on, the media are kind of constantly finding them more and more about it, and that's what everyone loves to hear. And we're very lucky that what we do have is when guys like Brad, or a lot of new guys new since then, come into the environment, they can really thrive and play well. You look at someone like Tom Curry, I think he was 19 when he made his debut, or 18, he's now 20, got a handful of caps, and he's a stand-up performer every week. And for someone of his age to feel comfortable enough to go out and perform at an environment like 80,000 at Twickenham is fantastic, really.
We'll hear more of that interview. Chris McCarty in conversation with Joe Launchbury and Brad Shields, as they enjoyed a bit of time off here in the UAE and the hospitality of the Jumeirah Beach Hotels. We'll listen to more of those excerpts of that a little later on proceedings. I've got Oisha, I've got Mark Archer alongside me. We'll keep an eye on the IPL. There is one game ongoing at the moment. Chennai Super Kings in action. Archie.
Yeah, it's the 18th match of this year's IPL. Chennai are hosting Kings XI Punjab. Chennai are batting first after 14.3 of their 20 overs, 102 for 3. They've just lost a couple of quick wickets, but the main man, their captain, MS Dhoni, is at the crease. He's yet to score. He's faced two deliveries, and Radeyu's also on two not out. So 102 for 3. Last man to go was Suresh Raina, bowled by our good friend Ravi Ashwin for 17. So 103 for 3, 14.4 of their 20 overs.
Ace alongside us, obviously, an illustrious career for England, but you've also played over in the IPL. You've played franchise cricket around the world. There we were talking about captaincy and things like that, and MS Dhoni just cropped up in conversation. Ever had the opportunity to play with MS, or certainly against MS at any point?
Yeah, lots against MS. Played a lot of One Day International cricket against MS Dhoni. I'll tell you a story, actually. I've played a lot of IPL cricket against MS Dhoni, but yeah. I'll tell you a quick story. I went over to India, the famous tour, the Test tour. Yeah. England drew 1-1 in India. We won the last Test in Mumbai, the Ring of Fire, the famous Ring of Fire Test match that Andrew Flintoff is pretty famous for.
Yeah.
And I actually was fortunate enough to arrive in Nagpur when Alistair Cook got his 100. And I was doing 12th man. So what I actually ended up doing was, when England were batting, when England were fielding, Obviously, India were batting, and MS Dhoni was supposed to be batting down at 7 or 8. I ended up spending a lot of time talking to him about, you know, how he sort of went about. And he was, you know, I mean, he was a star, but he wasn't a superstar and the megastar he is now. And that was quite interesting. And he was telling me how the opportunities that he got as a young kid and coming up through the ranks. And, you know, he wasn't even playing cricket. He was working in the, I think he was working the railway in India and things like that. And cricket was a bit of a side thing, really. Yeah. Because I believe his parents wanted him to, you know, carry on the studying and the work, which was more important. And, you know, he was telling me all this stuff, and I was just gobsmacked. Yeah. You know, here's a guy who's the test wicketkeeper, and who is...
So is that part of his gravitas, you think, the fact that he has got that sort of humble side to him?
And that's exactly what I was about to say, that he came across so humble. He was the test wicketkeeper for India at that time, and he was just the most humble bloke I'd ever met. And he was telling me his life story about how things went about. And it was just an eye-opener. It was absolutely amazing. And now, obviously, you look at him, where he is now. I mean, he's a superstar in the world of cricket. And yeah, look, he's an amazing guy. He still, you know, still obviously makes time for people, says hello, and always acknowledges you and things like that. You know, I can't speak highly of the guy. Yeah, he's in my view, an absolute legend.
I mean, he's become an icon. I think of when you think of the iconic Indian players, you put Sachin Tendulkar in one hand, and then you look at what MS Dhoni's done in the last decade, and they're probably almost up on the same pedestal now of the all-time great Indian cricketers who have transcended and having to deal with all the pressure outside the game of cricket. Cricket's actually probably the chance they get to relax and be themselves and actually get on with stuff, but all the other things they have to do, whether it be commercial or just day-to-day living, which is so difficult for those guys. I mean, they enjoy rock star status, don't they, really?
Do you remember that great video that you showed me, the MS Dhoni going for a haircut, and like 70,000 sort of crammed the streets outside, and the barbers that he was in and things like that, couldn't get in, couldn't get out. You know, when you're attracting 70,000 people for you to watch your haircut, I mean, I know he did have long hair, and it was probably a bit of a spectacle, you know, when it came off and everything, but 70,000?
Yeah, it's ridiculous, isn't it? I tell you, another thing that sums up the guy, and it's a tiny small gesture, but for me that goes a long way. So typically teams, IPL teams, obviously, say for example I was playing for KKR, we would travel to say Chennai, and you know, we will stay in a hotel and both the teams will be there, and I used to sort of, I had a lot of friends in sort of Chennai teams and blah blah blah, and they would tell me that, oh, you know, I would always ask, you know, how is MS Dhoni, da da da, blah, whatever. And they would tell me about the one thing that was really stood out about the guy is how approachable he is. And the one thing that he did was, as soon as he goes into his room, you know, the whole Chennai team will take over the one floor, and say KKR will take over the other floor. But what he does is, once he's in his room, he will open the door and just leave it open for the whole day. He's the captain, and he'll leave his room door open. So for me, what that's saying is, anyone is welcome. Just come and say, you know, anything, you know, you got spare 20 minutes, you want to come and spend time with me, come and spend time with me, because I'm an approachable captain. There's no such line or a divide between the captain and the team. And I love that, because I'm of the thought that the captain has got to know when he needs to be a captain and when he needs to be a friend and a man manager. And to me, that little gesture makes the youngest guy in the squad, who probably looks up to Dhoni, a young Indian kid who's probably talented enough to get an IPL contract, he'll be in awe of Dhoni. He'll go, oh my God, this guy is a legend. But he is also able to go into his room and say, hey, Dhoni, what's happening? How are you? You know, blah, blah, blah. Just have a conversation. Having 10 minutes with that guy is going to help that young guy so much, because the fact that the captain has made himself available to the whole of his team.
Your thoughts, please, do send them through to us. 4001. Early kickoff in the Championship. It sees Norwich, High Flyer Norwich, taking on QPR, who are going through a few issues at the moment. Remember, they sacked Steve McLaren midweek. I think on Monday it was. The John Eustace has come in. John's the caretaker manager, if you like, interim manager. His only previous managerial experience before today was 2 years in the National League North with Kidderminster Harriers. Well, he's got his work cut out at the moment with QPR, because they've gone two behind inside the first 10 minutes of this game down at Norwich. Emi Buendia with the first goal, a crossfield ball, picking out right back Max Ahrens in loads of space. He controls nicely, crosses to an unmarked Emi Buendia to side foot home from close range. And then doubling the lead is Marco Stieperman, turning 30 yards out, dribbling to the edge of the box, firing a powerful low shot which creeps under the arm of QPR goalkeeper Joe Lumley. It's Norwich 2, QPR 0 in what promises to be a fascinating day of championship action. All sorts of storylines developing for those looking to put their place direct qualification promotion into the Premier League, and also those looking to get into the playoffs, not to mention those trying to stave relegation. Thoughts please, 4-0-0-1. We are The Grill. We are live from Brasti.
Unbelievable goal!
This is The Grill, live from Brasti. Enjoy your weekend with a 99 dirham main and a hot lunch combo.
Enjoy your weekend indeed. Get yourself down here to Brasti. It is spring break. A lot of people are over on holidays. A lot of people taking time off at the moment. So come on down here, lap up the sun and enjoy a whole host of live sport. Girona against Espanyol is on some of the screens down here at Brasti at the moment. Half time in the early kickoff in Spanish La Liga. No goals in that one. There's an early up in Scotland as well as Heart of Midlothian. Hearts are taking on Hibs. With the early start up in Scotland, in the Scottish Premiership. No goals in that one, 19 minutes on the clock. And over in Norwich, Championship early kickoff. Norwich against QPR. Norwich leading by 2-0. Live in the IPL, Mark Archer.
Yeah, two matches today in the IPL. The second match kicking off around 6:30 UE time sees high-flying Sunrisers Hyderabad taking on the Mumbai Indians. Live cricket underway from Chennai. It's the Super Kings taking on the Kings 11 Punjab. We'll bring you a score update very shortly, but last night there was a cracking match where Calcutta Knight Riders defeated the Royal Challengers Bangalore by 5 wickets. Calcutta Knight Riders need a blockbuster innings of 48 not out by their big power hitter Andre Russell. He scored 48 not out off only 13 deliveries. It included 7 sixes to get the win. It just means that KKR have now won 3 of their 4 games. They're top of the table, tied up with a bunch of other teams. RCB, though, have lost all 5 matches they've played in this year's IPL, so that's not a good state to be in. But I do want to listen to the highlights of Andre Russell's innings and a very entertaining chat he had with teammate Carlos Braithwaite afterwards.
Six. Andre, just for the fans, just give us an insight into your thought process when you went into bat with us needing 15 plus runs over.
Honestly, the thought process was just to try and get as much six as possible, to be honest. I know sixes will bring down the run rate, will bring down the run, so that's all my mindset. I was telling DK that, you know, once we, you know, wait for the fast bowlers in the back end, you know, I know they're going to miss their length. Pressure is going to be on. Small ground, good wicket. So, you know, at the end of the day, we do it. But the mindset was just simple. Try and get as much sixes as possible.
And you're in the form of your life. I think there's 3 back-to-back man in match performances for KKR, but especially in the games that we've won. What would you attribute your recent success or recent form to?
I think it's the hard work, you know, behind the scene. The hard work in the nets as well. You know, I practice just like these for these moments. As you can see, you know, we're all in the practice sessions, and from ball one, I start hitting at everything because I know sometime I'm going to be in these situations where I go 13 plus per over. And tonight, I didn't even notice what was going on the scoreboard. All I did was look at one area, how many runs we need. And I'll just keep hitting sixes, keep getting it down, and you know, at the end of the night, I'm happy. You know, KKR fans happy and everyone is happy.
Last question. Who's the biggest swiper in the world?
Andre Ross.
That was the batter who did the damage last night, Andre Russell. He scored 48 not out off only 13 deliveries, 7 sixes there. And obviously he's in great form and really leading from the front for Calcutta Knight Riders. 2 matches underway. The match underway at the moment in Chennai is the Super Kings hosting the Kings 11 Punjab. I'll give you a score update, but let's listen to a preview from our good friends at ESPN regarding this match.
Kicking off this weekend, Chennai's original son faces off against its adopted son for the first time at the Chepauk. Ashwin and Dhoni's sides are on the top half of the table, but both captains will know what a win at a packed home stadium can do.
There have been very few cricketers in the history of Indian cricket that are as loved or as followed as MS Dhoni is. And in spite of Ashwin coming back to his home ground in Chepauk, playing for the Kings 11, I can't imagine he'll have more support than what MS Dhoni would. I think most grounds in India, there's a huge support for MS Dhoni. And in spite of Ashwin being a Tamil Nadu player and coming back to his home ground, I think the followers of MS Dhoni might just drown out the noise for Ashwin's supporters.
The defending champions won't be sweating, even after being humbled by Mumbai in the last game. However, with Dwayne Bravo out injured, death overs plans could be trickier for Dhoni.
The 11 that, in my opinion, Chennai could play is Faf du Plessis. I think their batting in that Mumbai game looked a little bit short, with Raidu not in great form at the moment. So I've got Faf du Plessis back in. Raina would continue to bat at number 3. Raidu might slot at 4 or 5, depending on how the innings evolves. And I've got Harbhajan Singh back. There's been a little bit of spin on offer at the Chepauk. They could easily go for Kugline, the quick bowler, to play against Chris Gayle. But I've gone for Harbhajan Singh just because of the impact that he had with the new ball, particularly in that first game against RCB.
6 summers ago, Shane Watson had smashed a T20 century at Chepauk against Chennai. Today, he will be up against possibly 2 Ashwins and the mystery spinner Varun Chakravarti, who is a local boy as well.
One of the aspects will be how they're going to tackle Shane Watson. Will they throw spin at him or will they throw pace? Well, I think they'll throw spin at him with Mujib, Ashwin and M. Ashwin themselves, who were particularly impressive in the last game. How's Watson going to cope with that? Well, he had a great PSL himself, so he's used to facing spin in the power play, but he'll be cautious early. They haven't had a great start with a power play, Shane Watson and Ambati Raidu, but Ashwini's men certainly will trouble the big right-hander. So watch out, Shane Watson. There will be a spin attack coming your way.
Punjab have discovered another potential big hitter in Sam Curran, but the question is whether or not he will retain his spot. Should Chris Gayle return, their power play score could well be the defining factor of the match.
So the likely 11 for Kings 11 Punjab, well, I've just got one change, and that's Chris Gayle back into the lineup. Hard to keep out, even though a person who took a hat-trick goes out of the side in Sam Curran. But it's a great matchup for Chris Gayle. He loves playing against the Chennai Super Kings. All in all, they've got a good top 6. The Punjab 11 and a good bowling unit, so they'll be hard to beat down there.
As the afternoon temperatures soar towards 40 degrees in Chennai, it would take much more than strategy to decide the battle of whose home is it anyway.
It's a tough game, both Chennai coming off a loss against Mumbai and Kings 11 off a really good win from a losing position against the Delhi Daredevils, but it's hard to go against Chennai in Chennai at the Chepauk. They're a formidable opponent in Kings 11, but their record at Chepauk is superior, and for me, they start favourites in this game.
So I'm actually going for an upset here. I think Kings 11 Punjab are playing good cricket. They're led well by R. Ashwin, and him going home back to Chennai will create a few issues as well. So I'm hoping that the Kings 11 Punjab will get over CSK in an upset at the Chepauk Stadium.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.